Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, t-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's MerchMonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. My name is Michael McCarthy, and this week we have our local paper review with Shane Brophy of the Nina Guardian. Samantha Lambert looks back on Tip's first round league defeat to Cork, while Pat Nolan previews the Offaly versus Tip league football decider on this weekend. But first, I sat down with Loughmore's Marty Ryan and Laura's Marissa Kennedy to review Tip's football victory over Wicklow. The footballers were out against Wicklow in a do or die game, I think, with both teams having lost their first round. Marty, it was a, I did the report, I called it a dour affair. It was, I thought it was a terrible game of football. We just lacked cohesion. Now we have a lot of injuries and we are missing a lot of our first 15, but we should be a bit better, shouldn't we?
We should be beating Wicklow comfortably. No offence to Wicklow, but we should. To be honest, I've been to a fair number of Tip football games over the last few years, and they're either edge of your seat excitement or absolutely awful affairs. I just particularly think of a Fermanagh League game a couple of years back, and it was the longest 17 minutes of my life. It was just, yeah. And not that yesterday was much better, but it should have been more comfortable. As you said, we do have a lot of injuries. It's kind of our league preparations do seem to get kind of hampered by a bit of bad luck most years. Something goes wrong, any team would miss the likes of Michael Quinlivan and that, you know.
We're missing, I suppose, our first choice half back line in Bill Maher, Kevin Fahey, and Robbie Kiley, who we're not going to have now for the championship. But I mean, they were probably the platform that we built on last year. So to be missing them is a huge. We're at a disadvantage straight away. But Paddy Feehan has settled in well, I thought, at centre back, and it looks the most likely, I suppose, to take the number 7 shirt. Even though Conor Bowe started there yesterday, he did okay, in his first start, but. Yeah, it was lackluster. There is a lot for David Power to work on. Now he's probably trying to build a panel as well at the same time. But Marissa, in the middle of the field, two powerhouses for Tip yesterday, Ballinas, Stephen O'Brien, and Commercials Conal Kennedy. They were the platform yesterday, which we built on. O'Brien is a very important player for Tip.
Very important, and it's great to see him back in the team and back to full form. Like as you say, especially with all the injuries at the moment, it's vital that the more experienced heads like himself are in the mood. But you know, for Tipperary, I think it's just a case of, as you know, and Marty alluded to, over the past couple of years, we've just gone missing scoring wise in so many of these games. And I think in the first half there was almost 20 minutes where there was no score registered, and in that period we conceded 5 to Wicklow. So, you know, serious question marks over that, and we were saved by the goals in the end, and that was all the difference. But you know, you look at the scoring, and we're again very reliant on Conor Sweeney hitting 1-3 of the 2-12. You know, I think it was only 5 scorers overall. So, you know, against, as Marcia said, no disrespect to them, but against a team like Wicklow, it's not good enough.
Yeah, we had said previously in a podcast, Marty, that we wanted more scoring out of the forwards. Sean O'Connor has kind of come in at number 15 there beside Sweeney, and he shows very well. He scored again, I think, 2 marks yesterday, 1-2 frees, had done similar the week before against Limerick. He's a young man, he's only 20 or 21, I think. So, like, he's a good addition to the forward line.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, that's what we need. We need more lads to put their hand up and take the scores, because we are very reliant on Conor Sweeney and Michael Quinlivan. And if they have an off day, or I mean, Quinlivan often has 2 lads hanging out of him and he's nullified. You have to have somebody else. You have to give other teams' defenders somebody else to watch, maybe. And you can just have another threat like that frees up the likes of Quinlivan and spreads it around a bit more. Like when you go back to 2016, we were a bit of an unknown quantity, and Sweeney and Quinlivan kind of made hay because they didn't know who to watch, you know. Yeah. So Philip Ryan got a goal too yesterday, which is nice to see him get in amongst it. Not too many men in Tip have lifted Sam Maguire, so you'd be expecting big things from him.
Yeah, he was busy around the field. I thought he played well. Again, it was his first start, so I'm sure there was, even though he's been around the block a bit, there was a bit of nerves putting on the Tip jersey for the first time. So
that too, and the fact that, I mean, he wasn't a regular starter with Dublin. I don't know how much game time he's got with Dublin over the years, so he's fresh into inter-county football again, really. So it might take him a little while to get back up to speed. But I'm certainly happy to see anybody who wants to play football for Tipperary is, you know,
yeah,
fair play to them, and they're welcome in my book. But
Marissa, would you think it's fair to say that this Tip football team kind of prefers being the underdog, and when we're playing the bigger teams, our game plan suits playing the bigger teams, where we have Brian Fox coming into the halfback line dictating kind of the play, breaking it up. Whereas yesterday, when we were on the ball a lot more, I suppose, maybe not used to being the bigger fish.
Yeah, and I think, you know, history and results tend to show that, doesn't it? Don't yeah. they? So, as you said yesterday, when we're in the majority possession, it's like we kind of have too much time to think about it. Whereas, you know, maybe it's a case of maybe the bigger teams previously might have underestimated Tip a little bit, and that's where that kind of underdog fighting spirit comes out. And it's a case of, you know, not even thinking about it, just stick to the game plan and, you know, just work it through the lines, and it seems to work out then. But it's something that's, it's definitely, I don't know if it's an attitude thing or what, but it's something that definitely has to be looked for, because in the Championship, we seem to shine when we're not supposed to, and yet we really struggle in the league. It's definitely an issue that's going to have to be looked into.
Yeah. So next weekend, we have Offaly, Marty, in the last game of the league, of the league part of it. We need to win. If we win by 3 points, we are assured of knockout stages. An Offaly victory last autumn was probably a catalyst for a good run in the Championship. Hopefully that'll happen again next weekend.
Yeah, hopefully. Offaly are motoring well there now, in fairness to them. They've 100% record so far. So it'll be a tough old challenge. Hopefully we'll have a couple of lads back, maybe. I don't know if it's too soon for them. But I don't want to say it's a must win, but it kind of is, really. You know, you want to be kind of... Because if we don't win, that's it, like, for the league. Mm-hmm. So that's your preparation over and done with. So you kind of want to be going in, you know, as Munster champions, winning Division 3 should be a very realistic aim. If we don't win, it's not the end of the world, but I think we should be trying to make a final anyway. We definitely should be appearing in the semi-finals. So, hopefully it'll be a good test for us. I think we'll have a good idea where we are after that. Unfortunately, we can't wear the white jerseys again because we do have a 100% record in those jerseys now at this stage.
Yeah. The white jersey is a class jersey, but it's just so hard to see the numbers, the gold numbers, on when the game is on to know. If I have one GA Go is a brilliant facility for us to have. But the commentator they had yesterday, he definitely had never seen Wicklow or Tip play football before, and more often than not, he did not know who was on the ball at the time, and he missed who was scoring. It was kind of a score for Tip rather than a score for Conal Kindy or Sean O'Connor or whatever. But I think that it wasn't helped by the gold numbers. I don't know how often we're going to get to wear those now. In the future, we only wore them yesterday because Wicklow wore the same jerseys and we had to change being the home team. But as you said, a good game to look forward to against Offaly next weekend, and hopefully they do get the victory and get into the knockout stages. As you said, it's important that we're playing knockout football, especially when we're in Division 3.
Just on the jerseys too, it was a slight variation on what you said. The Tenio was back on the jersey, the shorts was an interesting one actually. I thought because you looked at the shorts, they're actually a set of training shorts because they had numbers on the shorts as well. I don't know if you noticed that.
No.
So they're a navy and green pair of shorts with numbers on them. So as far as I know, that's part of a training kit, which was just, maybe I might be the only person in the county interested in that. But for anybody who's into their GA kits, that's a bit of trivia for you.
Very good. I had noticed. I noticed the navy shorts or the black shorts, whatever they were, my
when I was inside the shopping centre in Thurles on Friday evening, I saw this funny green jersey inside Nelvery's. What the hell is that? And then I spotted a navy Tenio across the front. It's a green jersey with navy Tenio, and that must have been part of the kit that the shorts came from. So whether we ran out of money to supply the lads with another set of green shorts or what, I don't know. But in fairness, the Tenio in white looked nice on the front of the jersey, I have to say. Like, it was great to see that jersey without a sponsor for Bloody Sunday and Everton, but I don't think the sponsor ruins it as such, because obviously going forward, anytime it's worn, there will be a sponsor on it.
Yeah, no, the sponsor did look fine. It was just the numbers on the back were very hard to read. I suppose maybe it was the sun or whatever, but the gold and the green and white background. Just
we'll have to get an old black patch or something and put it on the back with white numbers for you.
That's it, yes. My old age, my eyesight isn't as good as it used to be. Okay, I'm delighted to be joined on the Premier Review Tipperary GA podcast by renowned sports journalist Pat Nolan of the Irish Mirror and proud Offaly man. You're very welcome, Pat.
Thanks very much.
So, Pat, Offaly are absolutely flying in Division 3 South of the Football League. Two wins from two. First day out, a 4-point victory over Wicklow. Going well at the moment?
It's going well in that they've obviously won the two matches. It isn't too often, really, that Offaly footballers have been able to put victories back-to-back. I was just working it out there the weekend after the game that they haven't actually done it outside of Division 4, where they've been a couple of times over the last 10 years or so, since I think 2003, that it was the first time that they'd started a league campaign with successive wins. And I suppose even at that, they've done it against two teams that have just come up against Division 4. So, you know, you wouldn't want to get too carried away either. The two games, I watched them online. They dominated both for long periods, but just struggled to make it to reflect their superiority on the scoreboard, particularly in the first half against Limerick, where it was five each at half time, and Offaly had missed a penalty, another couple of goal chances, had five or six wides, dropped a few short, and I think at the other end Limerick had scored 5 points out of maybe seven chances. So you know, they really should have been out of sight at that stage. and were in danger. You know, Limerick got a goal shortly after half time, you know, and it turned into a bit of a scrap then. And in fairness to them, they dug it out with some brilliant, the likes of Shane Horn and Keane Farrell have come off the bench to great effect in the last couple of matches, and I'm not sure they can afford the luxury of not starting them again. You look at Niall McNamee, who's done well off the bench as well. But I suppose Niall's probably at a stage of his career, 35, where that role probably suits him. He can probably have more influence at that stage of a game than he would if he started the game and was still on the field at that particular stage. So I think they'll just need to have to shake it up a bit against Tipperary. Not drastic changes or anything like that, but I would have more confidence with the team finishing the game, getting the job done last Saturday, than I would with the team that started.
Yeah, and I suppose that's probably a thing with Gaelic football over the last couple of years, and I suppose hurling to a certain extent, but is having your best team on the, it was a real Dublin thing, having your best team on the field at the end of the game. And in the last game against Limerick, three guys came off the bench and scored 2 points each. So is that a case of building a panel, or will those guys start eventually, do you think?
I think so. In the case of Keane Farrell, I think he probably will start eventually. He's a brilliant talent from Eden Derry. He shot the lights out against Kildare in last year's championship, and so I am surprised that he's not starting. And, like, you know, I'd imagine once he, you know, settles into inter-county football, he's going to be a regular for 10 or 12 years going forward. So, you know, if you ask me, are there six better forwards in Offaly than Keane Farrell, I would say no. But obviously there's different, there's a few piano lifters needed too. So, you know, I would think, because the accuracy he has off either foot, that he probably needs to come into the side. There was a problem, particularly in John Mahon's first year in charge, where it was kind of a bare start in 15 and there was very little on the bench. So there are much better options there now. But I don't think the starting team is so strong that the likes of Keane Farrell can afford to leave the likes of Keane Farrell off it. Mm-hmm. Shane Horn is probably a less clear-cut one in that. He had a really good first year for Offaly. Shane is like Philip Ryan that Tipperary have just got on board, and that he's a son of Offaly parents, place where Kilmacud Crokes was knocking around the Dublin setup at various stages. And he came on board a couple of years ago, played really well in his first year, wasn't quite as influential last year, so, you know, he probably lost the status of nailed on starter, but he scored a few points off the bench in both games, and I think he's got very strong claims for Saturday. Other than that, I wouldn't be shouting from the rooftops about changes. Like I said, I think that impact role suits Niall McNamee at this stage of his career. You know, the team's been changed around a bit in terms of David Dempsey coming in as a centre forward, kind of a deep line centre forward. He'd be better known as a defender, but he's quite a powerful ball carrier. So, I think Tipperary, even though they lost to Limerick and they have lost a number of players from the Munster Championship win, I think they're going to be the best side that Offaly have played so far. And Offaly have kind of just about got over the line in two games. And I just think if they're not bang at it on Saturday, they're very vulnerable to losing against a team that they've a very poor record against. Like Tipperary won 7 out of the last league and championship meetings, and Offaly haven't beaten them, I think, since 2013. So,
yeah, last year's league game, which was in October, was quite a close game. It was just that Conor Sweeney penalty that divided them at the end, 116-16. But that probably, I think, that win probably set us off on a good run, which ultimately won. Ended up with the winning of the Munster final. But like I know you said we won, what, 7 out of 10, but kind of struggled that against you that day, and we're struggling this year, I suppose, so far anyway. I mean, now we've spoken before that Limerick are a bogey team for us, and even in the championship last year, I mean, it took extra time to get over them. We struggled for long periods against Wicklow, in my opinion. I watched it like you were watching on GA Go, but it was a tough watch, and we're not firing, I suppose, and that is with the injuries that we have. But would Offaly, do you think, Well, obviously now after winning two, and their fate is in their own hand. But is promotion a real thing for Offaly this year?
Yeah. Well, it has been for a number of years, but generally Offaly have tended to be flirting with relegation, going into the last game or two, rather than pushing for promotion. I suppose there generally comes a phase, you know, midway through league campaigns where, you know, if you get a result one way, you're going to be pushing hard for promotion, and if it goes the other way, you're going to be scrapping relegation. And Offaly invariably come out the wrong side of those particular games. So there is kind of a lack of a killer instinct to them. Like you mentioned, how the game against Tipperary last year was close, and generally those games would always be close for Tipperary and teams in and around that level. But I suppose Offaly generally tend to beat teams that are, I suppose, in and around their level or below them. But when it comes to beating a team where they have to, which is an opportunity to move up a step and get, go to the next level, they generally tend to fall short. So, you know, being competitive, even right up against Division One teams, like they should have beaten Meath and Navan in the Championship a couple of years ago. They were five or six points up midway through the second half and lost the match. And Meath had just got promoted to Division One at that time. So I think being competitive against any team right up to the lower reaches of Division One is within reach for Offaly, but it's just that there is a mental frailty there and in seeing out games and putting teams to the sword. And that's why I wouldn't be terribly confident that they'll get the results on Saturday.
Yeah. It'll probably be a tight game again when it comes down to it. The Championship then this year, how do you think Offaly will go? Loud, I think, in the first round. That's a pretty decent draw.
I suppose it is, and it is, you know, it's winnable. But at the same time, you expect it to be kicking Loud with Mickey Hart being over them. I know they're in effectively a promotion playoff against Sligo at the weekend, see who gets through to the semi-finals. So, you know, it's very difficult to state that there are very few teams that you would say Offaly would go out and play against that you'd be absolutely cast iron certain that they would win. And that's not based on ability, because there is a good standard of footballer available to John Mahon, generally speaking. Underage football sides have been pretty competitive for the last 10 or 12 years, unlike hurling, so where the standard has obviously dropped considerably. So there is a good standard of player there. But I just think they just need to get a big win, mm-hmm. which they just haven't. I'd say the last significant win that Offaly had in Championship football was against Monaghan in 2011. That's 10 years ago, where they beat, you know, a team where they took a scalp, you know, and they haven't got out of Division 3 in the last 10 years. They've only been close maybe once or twice, and they've been relegated to Division 4 a couple of times. So, yeah, Loud is a decent draw, but certainly not a nailed-on victory by any stretch. They would then, if they won that, they would play Kildare, who obviously have an awful record against them, haven't beaten them 15 years. They've lost their last 12 games against them in all competitions. So, again, that would be a winnable game, but Offaly would definitely be underdogs. It's another one of those games you can see Offaly being competitive in, but could they actually get over the line? You'd have to have your doubts based on the last 10 years. And of course, even if they did, Dublin cast a massive shadow over the Leinster Championship anyway. So, you know, it's a bit like Kerry traditionally do in Munster, but yeah, the Leinster Championship is a bit of a dead duck, and the fact that there are no qualifiers this year doesn't do a whole lot for morale for the other 10 counties in Leinster that take part in it. And I think most, if not all of them, will be looking for promotion in the league as a means of progress this year, and you know, hope for the best in the Championship.
Yeah, you mentioned John Mahon is obviously your manager. This is his third year, I think. He was late 18, I think, he came in as manager. But has he made significant strides in improving the state of Offaly football in those years?
I wouldn't say significant strides. No, I don't think he's done a bad job, but I don't think he's I wouldn't say he's taken off to a new level just yet. You know, there have been good performances. Like his first league campaign, there was a number of games where, like, they just should have won, and just, again, the same old story, couldn't get over the line. Ended up just about avoiding relegation, where there was a couple of games that probably should have won that would have put them up contending for promotion. But that's an age-old story. Yeah. The success of Offaly teams before John Mahon took over. So, yeah, a couple of good performances in championship games against the likes of Kildare and Meath without winning them. You know, so you wouldn't say Offaly have won any game that they wouldn't have been expected to win since he took over. So, you know, so it's been slow progress. They certainly haven't gone backwards, but I think if his managerial reign is going to be considered a success, I think the next couple of weeks will probably be defining for him, because, you know, getting out of Division 3 would be massive for Offaly, and Saturday's a massive opportunity to do that. And even if they do that on Saturday, it'll still be a very tough game after it. So, I'd say the next few weeks, more so than the championship, might define whether he gets a fourth year or not.
Yeah, if he does. Yeah. So Saturday's game, it's probably in both teams' hands. Tip, obviously, have to win by three to be certain of the knockout. Win or draw will do for Offaly, or even losing by less than the 3 points. Michael Deignan is chairman in Offaly now. How is he getting on? He's a big name.
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to judge, because it's been. If you look, he came in as chairman in December 2019, and you know, 3 months later, we were in the pandemic. So he hasn't had to deal with your typical day-to-day issues that a county board chairman would have to deal with, and it's probably been hard to plan strategically with all that's been going on. So ultimately, he will be judged on probably beyond his term as chairman. Like, you know, if Offaly are back being successful in 5 or 10 years' time, and it can be traced back to the process that were put in place during his tenure, that's probably when he'll earn his praise. But at the same time, I suppose he does a good job as a front of house man. You look at the acquisition of the Shane Lowry arrangements, which is hugely positive, and it's something that maybe previous administrations may not have been able to you know, see over the line, for a whole host of reasons that, like, you know, the Offaly County Board has been in the news for a lot of the wrong reasons over the last five or ten years, and I'm not sure would Shane Lowry have wanted to associate himself with that. Maybe he would have, but it's certainly, I suppose Deignan would have been seen as being more approachable to someone like him anyway, and it's great to see something like that. And I suppose he has surrounded himself with a lot of very capable people too, which probably have skill sets that he doesn't have in terms of you know, just the nitty-gritty of administration duties and week to week stuff that boxes that have to be ticked. So I suppose, to answer your question, I would say you know, there are positive signs so far, but I'd be interested to see when things bed down again after this pandemic and you're into more nitty gritty issues and I suppose driving home plans like the Shane Lowry one, because we've had any amount of reports and you know, academies and you know, plans for underage development over the years, and obviously that have amounted to virtually nothing. Albeit the two minor teams are in Leinster finals this year, but I'll just be interested to see what the follow through is on all of that sort of stuff in years to come. Yeah. And I suppose, like I said, that's what will define his reign probably more than anything else.
Yeah, you just mentioned there, obviously, the two minor teams or 17 teams are in the two Leinster finals, isn't it? From 2020. So, like, that's a big achievement. I think it's probably back to the late 80s when that was last last achieved, I think. So that's positive. Yeah. That's positive for both codes in the county.
Yeah, but at the same time, Michael Finley actually alluded to this in an interview recently, it is only one set of players getting to Leinster finals. Offaly have been in, it's an exercise that I've been meaning to do that since the mid-90s. Offaly have been in any amount of Leinster finals at underage and senior level. And they haven't, bar the minors and under 21 hurlers in 2000, since 1997, Offaly haven't won any Leinster final. Mm. And probably have lost, I'd say upwards on, at all grades, probably upwards on 15, maybe more. So there comes a time where you have to start winning those, and getting to them consistently is the key. Because if Offaly were to win these two Leinster finals and then disappear at minor level for the next 5 years again,
yeah,
you're not going to get the base of a successful senior team off yeah. those two sides. So it needs to be sustained. And look, Offaly's a small county. You can't realistically expect to be winning underage honours year after year. But you do need a succession of underage sides to build a good senior team. And Offaly haven't had that since the late 80s in either code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but it's good to see that with the two teams in it, and as you said, it is all about sustainability and bringing guys through year on year. Pat Nolan, it was a pleasure to have you on the Premier View. Thanks very much.
Thank you. No problem.
Are you looking for an exciting new career? Iconic News are recruiting for the positions of Media Sales Specialist. Iconic is Ireland's largest independently owned newspaper group with an unrivaled audience in print, online and mobile. We are now seeking media sales specialists to join the advertising sales team working on the Tipperary Star, the Nationalist and TipperaryLive.ie, offering a competitive salary and massive career progression to the right fit. To apply, please email your CV to ocooper@iconicnewspapers.ie.
The Tipperary Ladies Footballers were in action live on TG4 Friday night, and after a very competitive first half, fell away in the second. Art Finnan's Samantha Lambert joins us to review the game. Okay, delighted to be joined by Samantha Lambert here on the Premier View to have a look back at Tip's defeat to Cork in the first round of the National Football League last Friday night, live on TG4. Thanks very much for joining us, Samantha.
No bother at all, thanks for having me.
So Friday night, obviously we kicked off against Cork, did very well in the first half, faded in the second half. You were watching it. What did you make of it?
Yeah, no, I suppose, look, it was always going to be a big task coming up against Cork in the first round of the league. I suppose there wasn't much room for challenge matches in previous to the match against Cork. So that is a tough task, and look, as you said, the girls played very, very well in the first half. They were extremely strong. I think Anna Rose at midfield and Caitlin Kindy centre back, Maria Curley full back, Emma Morrissey centre forward, I think they were absolutely superb. They were outstanding, to be fair to them. And look, they faded in the second half, like you said. I think the legs got tired, maybe the intensity of the game was a bit much for them. At that point, I think they have a lot of hard training done, so maybe that took its toll. But they kept battling, which is a great sign. And they kept trying their best. So they've loads to learn from it. I suppose loads to take from it. Things that they can work on. But there's loads of positives that they can take from it as well. And as you said, they played really, really well in the first half. They really stuck with Cork, and I think if they kind of drive it on and not dwell on any of the negatives, or not the negatives, but not dwell on the loss. I know it was probably they lost by quite a bit in the end. I think it was 12 points. But look, as long as they learn from their mistakes, I think they have a lot to work on, and they can progress again against Waterford this weekend. And that's the most important thing, that they don't dwell on it and they take the positives from the game.
Yeah, just on that first half, we played some good football in the first half. We led at one stage after Marie Creedon's goal. We showed signs that we're well capable of competing with Cork.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I suppose it was the first time in my career that we had bet them 2 years ago down in Parky Ring, and it was like winning All Ireland. I suppose when we were growing up, well, when I was growing up anyway, coming across the likes of Cork, like, you never bet them, they always bet you. And when I mean bet you, they bet you out the gate. Yeah. You know, so that win against Cork, really, I think, and a lot of the girls that were playing in that match last weekend, they would have been playing that day as well. And I think we all got such belief and confidence from that game that, yeah, we can actually beat them. And like you said, they stuck with them in the first half. They played really well. They were ahead after Marie Creedon's goal. And look, I think they just faded the intensity. Maybe they hadn't, you can run all you like, but I suppose when it comes to match fitness and game experience, I think you can't get that only from playing challenge matches and games like the league matches. So there's loads to take from it, and I'm sure they've learned a lot since.
Yeah, just before half time, there Roisin Daly popped up with a great goal. I was very impressed with her, especially in the first half. She was up and down the wing. She was getting involved there all the time.
Yeah, Daly's an excellent player. Great attitude, and super fitness, I suppose. Yeah, she was up and down that wing a lot in the first half, and it was great to see her finishing off with a goal. Towards the end of the game, it was a super goal too. She's very fit and fast, and loves to get on the ball, and that's great to see out of a wing back. Like, you know, there's nothing worse for a wing forward, to be honest, to have to follow a wing back around the place. Yeah. And I suppose she'd probably be in the wing forward's nightmare for the first half, because she was just full of energy and enthusiasm. So it's great to see, and it's great to see her starting there at a wing back, like, and she brings a lot to the team.
Yeah, your old jersey number there was filled by Caitlin Kennedy, the Arlo girl. She's a terrific footballer herself, and Anna Rose obviously are two stars in the making. But Caitlin is strong, she's tough, and she's well able to carry the ball forward too.
Absolutely, Caitlin is super. Along with her sister Anna Rose, and they really link together really well. And I suppose in Marcy Dinn at centre forward, you really have a really strong backbone there going on through the centre, you know. They all just know each other really well, and I think that makes it better, the link play or whatever. So no, Caitlin is flying as centre back. As you said, she's so many attributes to go with it. She's her strength, her physicality, her fitness, and her drive forward is second to none. So she'll really settle in there, and I think that's a great position for her going forward.
Yeah, someone we probably didn't see enough of on Friday night was Aisling Maloney. She started out at wing forward and seemed to kind of be out around the middle of the field, probably trying to link the play in that. But do you think Tip would get more out of Aisling if she was nearer to the goal, more of a threat?
Yeah, look, she played very, very well in the first half. She had a lot of mileage done, I think, at the end of the first half, to be honest. She was up and down that wing as well, and she was on a young girl from Cork, Eric O'Shea, and she kept her busy too. But Maloney did a lot of running and tracking back, like, in the first half, and she was winning a lot of her kickouts as well. Like, so I guess legs got tired, and she did move into the full forward there into the second half, and she did well in there. I just don't think there was probably enough ball going in for her to do the damage that she normally would do. But yeah, look, I don't think any fullback would enjoy Aisling Maloney walking towards them, or a goalie for that matter. So yeah, look, there's pros and cons of having her everywhere. Geez, you love 15 Aisling Maloney's going around the place. But there's, you know, she's great to carry the ball, so out in the wing might give her more space inside in the full forward line. Yeah, she's near to goal and she can do damage. But it's just where you want to play her, and I suppose you kind of play her depending on the team you're playing against too, like, and maybe having her out on the wing was giving her that bit more space to carry the ball and get past her player. It just didn't work out, I suppose. Maybe in the first half she had done a little bit of track and she was getting the thing, but look, she linked the ball well. She created some scores as well, so it's great to see the other girls around her scoring and stepping up to the mark too, like. So as I said, having her inside full forward, I would be my worst nightmare, having to try mark her inside full forward. And I think teams, the further out the field she is, the better for other teams, I feel.
Yeah, no, I would tend to agree with you that you're right. she would be a complete handful for any fullback. Cork needed, I suppose, they probably got an all-rollicking at halftime, and they brought on a couple of subs. Libby Coppinger and Katie Quirk popped up with goals for them, and they needed those goals. That showed the strength of their bench.
Yeah, look, Cork have a strong bench. They're developing the whole time, and they've girls coming from underage up to senior level all the time, and they're playing their minor level then at A as well, to know the A competition. So it makes a difference. Now Tip are getting there as well. I always competed at B, and now you've girls coming up, the likes of Caitlin Kennedy and Emma Morrissey, who have competed in A minor competitions, and that's absolutely brilliant. And it's great to see. And we have development squads going on as well, and that's absolutely brilliant. And to know the county board have put in such work into progress in ladies football in Tipperary, like, and you can see the benefits of it now.
Yeah.
But look, Cork have been building, as I said, for a long, long time. Those girls that came on are experienced as well, and it probably did make that little bit of a difference. You see Ingrid Meaney coming on, and like I said, Libby as well. So that does make a difference. Look, he was given, I suppose, Zeef, he was given younger girls a chance too on a Friday night. That's what the league's going to be about. Like, you know, it's giving girls a chance and seeing what he has for the championship. And he brought on Katie Quirk as well, who's another young girl. So he was out there to see what he's got as well. So I'm sure they've learned quite a bit from that game too, going forward into playing. They're playing Dublin this weekend, so that'll be a very difficult challenge for them too. Like, you know, two of the All-Ireland finalists from last year. So it's going to be an interesting encounter.
Yeah, absolutely. Another Cork girl, before we move on, who got player of the match was Sive O'Leary, the Kinsale girl. I've seen her play when Kinsale won the intermediate there, whatever it was, 2 or 3 years ago. She's a fantastic footballer.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I think she was actually on the team when I was over, when I was selector for the Munster Interpro Schools team. She's very, very skillful, very fast and nifty, like, you know. So I was no surprise she got a player of the match, scoring 1-3. And look, she got great ball into her, you know. I mean, Emma Cronin, I think, was marking her. And Emma Brown was marking her, and Emma's a superb defender. And, you know, I think like the ball coming into Sive was excellent, you know, and it was going directly to her. Not a kind of a player in the full back line can do much about if they're getting ball into their hand, you know, and they can do a certain amount. So Sive's an excellent player anyway, and then getting perfect ball in, I suppose, that was a killer. So but no, she's excellent, you know, very high standard.
Yeah, so looking forward to this weekend, Sunday in Clonmel, we have Waterford. We've played them quite a number of times over the, none more so than I suppose you'll remember it well last year. So what can we expect? Do you think there'll be any changes in Declan Carr's line out to give someone else a run to have a look at?
Yeah, I'd imagine Declan might give another few girls another chance, you know, and that's how he's going to learn, like, you know. So I think, why not? Girls have to get league games to let him have a look at what they're made of for the championship. So I wouldn't be surprised. You know, that the girls did very, very well. A lot of them was their first county match there with a long while, the likes of Lane Kelly or Edith Carroll, Cleano Dwyer. You know, they haven't been on the county scene with a while, so it'll take time, and the girls will learn from it. And I'm sure they were delighted to be back on start in 15. And I'm sure, again, Declan might give another few girls that haven't had that experience that chance there on Sunday against Waterford. It'll be a tough battle. They always seem to be close encounters when we are playing against Waterford, and I can see no different there on Sunday.
Yeah, who from Waterford should we be looking out for? Are the Walls, are they still playing? They were always good footballers.
Yeah, I suppose, look, you've the Ballymac girls, like, are excellent footballers. You know, they're very, very strong. You have the likes of Karen McGrath there, and like you mentioned already, Eileen Wall and Mairead Wall. You have Kellyanne Hogan, she's excellent, and I think she lined out at wing forward there the other day. You know, and you've Cuiva McGrath, very, very strong too. So they're not short of superb players, and I think Maria Delahunty is back at full forward as well, who hasn't featured, I think, with the last year or so for Waterford, so she's back too. So they have a great bunch of players, and as I said, it's going to be another close encounter. Tip and Waterford know each other quite well too, so it's kind of different to play in other counties where you wouldn't be as familiar. But it'll be interesting and exciting, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure will. So hopefully that's on in Clonmel on Sunday. The draws for the championship were made last week, where we're paired with Cork again, and Old Foes Meath. It's not a bad group, but we have to top it, isn't it, to get into the semi-finals?
Yeah, there's actually quarterfinals. So the So it's a little different ladder. I suppose there's that small bit more of a window to play, get games played. So the top two teams go into a quarterfinal. So no, it's not a bad group. I suppose there is worse groups out there, you could say. But look, I don't think any of the groups are easy. But it was a group that you probably would have favoured rather than going into a group like maybe Waterford, who got Dublin again as well. Like, so it'll be tough. Meath are after developing as well, like, in progress, and since we played them, I'm sure. So there'll be no easy match. Never is up in senior, but that's what you want. Like, you want to be having these battles against other counties, and that's where you're going to improve and progress. So like you said already, Cork again, and I'm sure they'll have their players that were injured the other night back as well. But look, Tipper are going to continue to learn, they're going to continue to develop and gel well together. So I have no doubt that they'll be ready for that championship when it comes around.
Yeah, and we hopefully will have our two Australians, Orla Dwyer and Ashton McCarthy, back. Will Ashton be fit, do you think?
I think she's doing very well at the minute. Not 100% sure whether she'll be back or not. I'm sure she's not going to want to rush your knee. In particular, I think, I don't know, is it just me, but I've just the thing about knees and just making sure that when the rehab is going on, that they're doing it properly and fully, like, in order for her to make a full recovery and not having to do, not doing more damage to herself. And O'Dwyer seems to be enjoying her celebrations. fair play to her.
Well deserved.
Needs a little bit of downtime too, like, she's been going a long time now. So hopefully they'll be back, they'll be super additions. But again, you have to, I suppose, control wills and play what you have in front of you, and I'm sure the girls will pull together anyway, no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. Samantha Lambert, thanks again for joining us on the Premier View, and we'll hopefully talk to you again in another couple of weeks.
No bother, thank you.
It's Merchmonster.ie.
Fast becoming Tommy Vara's most famous son, Enda Tracy speaks to head of sport at Dineen Agairge and Shane Brophy to review the GAA action in this week's edition.
Okay, on this week's paper review, I'm joined by Dineen Agairge and sports editor Shane Brophy for a look at this week's edition. Shane, thanks for coming on.
Good to see you again, Enda.
There's only one logical place to start, Shane, a fellow Laura man. Terrible news there, you have on page 63. Obviously, everyone's heard at this stage. Bonner Maher sustaining an Achilles tendon injury in training. Just shocking bad luck for a lad that's served Tip so well.
Oh, it's desperate. Like, it was the, I suppose, the, like, you don't wish that type of injury on anyone, but, like, considering, like, what he's, you had to fight back from a cruciate, what, 24 months ago, like, to be effectively his second championship in 3 years is gone. Like, it's a cruel blow for the chap, there's no doubt about it, but, like, it's, like, I don't think there's any denying it. He's probably the most popular player among the supporters out there, because what you see is what you get. Like, it's, there's no bullshit, there's no softness. Like, he just goes at it 100% every day he goes out. And like, you could hear the name Sheedy's voice there when we spoke about him last Saturday after the game. Like, it's I think while the group will get over, it's just a crushing blow for what he's. What he's meant to that group for so long. And look, he's, I just think of the sort of championship, a guy like that, whether he was going to start or whether he was going to come off the bench, like, I just think he will be a loss to the team in the championship, there's no doubt about it. Look, they were able to win an All-Ireland without him 2 years ago, but I know from, like, I'm sure while Bonner has three All-Ireland medals to his credit, like, he probably feels the 2019 one probably was one that maybe he didn't achieve. I know he played 3.5 games that year, but it's when you're not involved in the big games in Croke Park, you probably feel a little cheated. But look, you just hope he comes back again. Like, I know he'll be, he's going to use it as a motivation. The doubters will say that maybe he's finished. Like, he's going to use that as motivation to get back next year. I've no doubt about it. Look, and it'll probably help his recovery in some ways to give him a target. But look, he might get back to full fitness, and whoever the manager will be, whether it's Liam Sheedy or somebody else, might decide we're going to move on from. But like, I've no doubt Bonner's going to give himself every chance to be put forward for selection for next year.
And what's the kind of time frame you said in the article there as regards coming back for him? Would he be back for club championship?
It's seemingly so. Like, I was surprised enough. I know those Achilles tendon injuries are as bad as the cruciate ligaments. So, like, when you hear Liam Sheedy saying 3 to 4 weeks, I know he's going for the operation today. So, or sorry, 3 to 4 months. So, like, you're talking maybe September time, like, when he's back, which you're likely to be well into club championship at that stage. So, look, if Laura gets to the back end of the club championship, maybe October, November, you think there might be a chance. But like, I suppose with all these injuries, I think it's important you don't force them on. It'll be, I know from Bonner's, like, he was meticulous in his recovery the last time from the cruciate. Like, he'll do the very, very same again. So look, we just hope that he comes back from a better than ever later in the year, or whenever he's right again.
It's cruel for Laura. I was listening to the Irish Examiner podcast, and Ken Hogan was saying Willie was only back training a couple of weeks, and now Patrick is gone. It's terrible for the club, really.
Oh yeah, sure. Like, when you think that we were so close to winning the Orion there last year, and like, but Bonner was probably only coming back to full fitness last year. I don't think we saw the best of him in the club championship, but he was getting better as every match went along, and you probably feel with a winter under his belt and maybe an inter-county championship, he was going to be even better this year. But that's probably not going to happen. Hopefully, maybe if we're still involved in the latter end, maybe he'd be able to offer something. But look, I suppose, as John McIntyre said, I think he said on Tip FM during the week, that at least the club know now that he's going to be missing. It gives them a chance to maybe through the county league and to put a plan in place and how to fill the void left by Bonner. Like, it's going to be a big one, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And sure, just the main event of the weekend was the Tip Senior Hurlers 2-19-20 win over Galway. A very good win. You have in the article there, a win built on defensive solidity. That was the main highlight for you?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think definitely through the three games, I think defensively you have to be very, very pleased. Like, 20 points, 2-16 and 20 points. Like, that's in modern hurling, they're not huge scores to be conceding. Like, so you'd have to be very, very pleased with that. Like we have so many defensive options, even accounting for Brian O'Mara being injured. Like, you have the six guys who played last week. You have Brendan Maher, who wants to get back in there. You have Brian McGrath. You have the two midfielders and Paddy Cadellanan and Flynn, who can play in the half-back line as well. So, like, I think definitely defensively we look an awful lot more assured. I suppose while Liam Sheedy wasn't saying anything is nailed down, you have to be fairly confident that maybe that Seamus Kennedy will be number six for the championship. Like, he's definitely keeping the centre of that defence well secure. Like, there'll be nobody going through the middle for goal chances. Like, Ronan's back out in the wing, where he's probably his best position at the moment. But offensively and defensively, not surprised to see Pádraig Maher go back full back at this stage of his career. I know maybe the likes of Johnny Glynn and Isaki O'Halpin have given him problems over the years, but I just think it's like, there's definitely the tall full forward that has given him problems. But I just think the way Hurling is going nowadays, there's not much big high ball being landed in on top of a full back anymore. Like, I think Pádraig, and just looking at his fitness levels, like, he's as lean as I've ever seen him. And like, he took on Pat Horgan against Cork very, very good again the last weekend. I know Kevin Cooney tended to drift out the field, but look, if you leave Pádraig Maher inside on his own, he's going to sweep up. So look, I think definitely think at this age of his career, like JJ Delaney, I think him maybe moving back from 7 to 3 would probably provide a bit more longevity. Look, he's only 31 years of age, and I would think, looking at what Phil Mickey said in the golf, like, I just think there's too much made of the fact that maybe four or five of Tipperary's guys are in their early 30s. Like, they are like they have so much more to give. Like I just I'm wary of when you hear of people trying to write off guys in their early 30s. Like you can't buy experience. Like and okay, they might be able to give 70 minutes that they're what they were a couple of years ago, but like I tell you, if you got 55, 60 minutes top level of those guys at this level, like that's better than the 70 minutes of maybe inferior guys. Like, so, look, I think Liam Sheedy has done a very, very good job in terms of he's not overloading the older brigade. Like, Pádraig has played, what, 2 and a bit games. Brendan Maher has only come on in 2 sub games. You probably think maybe Westmeath and Waterford will probably see him in from the start. Like, Seamus Callanan is expected back for the Waterford game. Noel McGrath has got what 2 substitutes? He's probably what 2 full games? Well, between total, probably 2 full games. So look, I think he's bringing him back slowly. I think there's no doubt about it. Tip want to be hitting the ground running on the 4th of July against Clara Waterford, and then I think that's their focus at the moment.
Yeah, and we kind of see the highlight of the other 2 games as well. 15 wides. The shooting a concern for you, or is it something they'll remedy with match practice?
No, I think it's something they'll remedy. I think Liam Sheedy was right in saying that to be more concerned if they weren't creating the chances. And it wasn't with a lot of the wides were actually from good shooting positions. It was just the accuracy was off. Like you'd be more concerned if they were taking shots in stupid positions. Like there was a few occasions maybe where some of those long range shots were maybe 80 yards out, maybe could have been sent in. But look, like that you probably expect, maybe I think there was one from Barry Heffernan in there, one from Paddy Cadell that probably on another day that would have stuck over the bar no problem. It's just the way it fell on the day. Like, and I've no doubt maybe as they speed up their play, like they probably have very, very little hurling training done, like, and ball work and things like that where you could sharpen things up. But definitely I think that you could see that maybe in the first 10-20 minutes where a fully tuned in tip forward line, if they were on it, there was at least another 2 or 3 ball chances on where just the ball fumbled out with a hand, or just the idea was right, but just the execution didn't work out. And you think if there was a time to be sharpest later on in the year rather than now. So, and like on review, you probably think if we did take those chances and maybe beat Galway 7, 8, 9, 10 points, you think, oh God, the hype machine is back again. Yeah. Whereas, it's better maybe in the way it worked out. We had to grind it out without probably showing our full hand. We had to grind it out. And like to score the last, 4 points in a row to win was very, very pleasing as well.
A lot of lads maybe to get a run against Westmeath, see where they're at. Maybe the likes of Owen Connolly, James Quigley.
I think so. Like I know he made 5 changes for the Cork game and then 4 more for Galway. So like I think you would expect changes. Like you think Seamus Callanan gets through 2 weeks training, he'll get some minutes. I think they've used about 28 of the 36 man panel, of course, with Billy McCarthy's long term and Bonner's gone. So like you would like to see the likes of James Quigley maybe getting a run. Owen Connolly, maybe Alan Tyne, and like there's a few there. You can hope maybe Billy Seymour and Craig Morgan would be back I know they lost a few weeks training there because I think they were stood down as close contacts due to just a COVID situation, not within the team but outside of that. So it's the opportunity, but I don't expect wholesale changes. Maybe 7 or 8. Because look, you saw what happened when Waterford made 12 changes for Westmeath. Only got out of there by 3 points. So like, you want to keep a certain element of flow. I think actually one of the first names on the team sheet for the Westmeath game probably should be John McGrath, just to get his confidence going. Like you could see he's probably. He's doubting himself at the moment when the ball is coming in. Just the confidence is not there. But we all know when his confidence levels is up, he just makes hurling so easily. So, like, you'd like to think the Westmeath game, if he gets in there, maybe scores a couple of points, maybe a goal and sets up a couple, that it will just get those confidence levels moving again. You probably think maybe Brian Hogan, after being stood down with concussion last week, will probably get a run out, and he'll probably get the Waterford game too. And it'll be interesting to see then. Like, Barry Hogan has done nothing wrong so far. I think think we have a competition for the goalkeeper for the championship, which is great. Like we want to see competition there, and I suppose we're definitely going to see it in defence because, like as you say, like you have at least 7, 8, 9 players for for probably six defensive slots. Okay, some of them can play in midfield, and on second viewing, I thought Michael Breen's contribution when he came on at wing forward was noteworthy. Like he won a couple of puck outs in the air, and I just think if he can do that again, like we in that wing forward position, I just think he'd be so invaluable there, because it might release Dan McCormack back to midfield, which I think is where Tip benefit more from Dan this year.
Yeah, he seems to be going back there a bit more like a Bursley role there, isn't he? Kind of dropping deep and covering the centre. But Michael Breen's an enigma, isn't he? He can be unbelievable, or he can be just completely out of the game. It's hard to know where he stands as regards starting or coming on.
That's it. Like, I'm sure it frustrates himself to know how maybe one day the ball runs for him and some day... Like, I suppose it midfield is that frustrating position where, as I say, one day the ball you could get a heap of ball land in your vicinity, and then some days it's just all going over your head. And you'd probably say maybe Alan Flynn has suffered a little bit for the last two games, where he hasn't appeared on an awful lot of ball. Whereas you look at the first 25 minutes against Galway, Paddy, the ball seemed to following Paddy Cadell around like a rash. So like it could be just the way a midfield position could go, or half forward where you're coming back the field. But look, I just thought maybe from the way he caught a couple of those late puck outs that he might think like he's able to do it. And then maybe if he gets some of those one-on-one positions, maybe a wing forward, or maybe against a Waterford team, I think maybe that's the sort of a game where you'd love to see maybe that game is going to matter, like, and that could be a game maybe where he's getting the 10 or 12 jersey. Because that's particularly looking at Bonner gone, like there is an extra position going now in that half-forward line, either as a starter and an impact sub. So I guess there's definitely an opportunity open, not only for Michael Breen, but also a number of players.
Yeah, there's savage competition there, and that Westmeath game isn't for... They have a free weekend this weekend, so it's the following weekend. So just moving on to the football now, Shane. Two footballers beat Wicklow 2-12 to 1-12. Wicklow, a late goal to kind of put a gloss on it, but comfortable enough if they made it difficult at times.
Yeah, it was... I suppose that the penalty claim with more or less the last kick of the game. But I suppose, look, we hope maybe that 3 points conceded won't be costly. And then the finish up, maybe if the score difference is required next weekend after the Offaly game. But look, it was good to get the win. The performance was very, very patchy. First half was as poor as I've seen now for a good few years. Still maybe playing a little bit cautiously. I know I had it in the headline that maybe the best form of defence is attack, and I just feel that we're a better team when we're on the attack. Like, I don't think we're that strong enough defensively maybe to hold off a lot of teams, even the likes of Wicklow. Like Wicklow kicked 8 wides. They had a couple of half chances for goals, openings in the first half. But like when Tip, maybe after the second goal, like they went on and they really counter-attacked strongly and kicked some cracking points, Stephen O'Brien and Conor Sweeney. But it was all came from when they got the ball and got in behind their midfield. Like, they really, really attacked at pace. Like, Jack Kennedy coming on was a big help. Like, he's I suppose he's getting fitter with every match. Like, he's still carrying that lingering hamstring problem from last year. I know they're trying to bring him along slowly. He got 15 minutes against Limerick. He got 25 against Wicklow. So you like to think he's probably going to get maybe closer to a half against Offaly. Whether he probably risky maybe to start him at this stage, but look, they might have no choice maybe to get as much out of him, maybe get 45, 50 minutes out of him against Offaly, because that's a game we have to win at the weekend. And they might have no choice but to put their strongest hand out there. It's just frustrating that we haven't been able to put our full team out in the field, and we probably won't be probably till the championship. Maybe it doesn't sound like Michael Quinlivan or Bill Maher will be back for Offaly, touch and go. Whether they might be back for a semi final or relegation semi final. So Kevin Fahey, the word is that he probably will be available this weekend, but you probably think they probably would put him on the bench as well. So look, it's a work in progress. Look, I suppose the Offaly game was always going to matter, but you'd love to have maybe had 4 points on the board and maybe not have the pressure on the shoulders going down there. But look, I suppose David Power could probably maybe look at, I suppose, using it as a way to say to the team, look, this is a championship match in everything but name. We have to go to Tullamore and win. And look, I know a 3-point win would be enough to get them through, but look, I don't think they'll be talking about 3 points. As I said, I'm just saying get the win and see how the cards fall after that in terms of what Limerick do against Wicklow.
Yeah, and it seems even more important in an average league year because of the way the championship is lined up with injuries. It's a very important game for their year not to peter out, kind of.
Oh, that's it. Like, and you don't want to be going into a relegation semi-final in 2 weeks' time. And like, in that, I suppose, like, their target would have been to get out of Division 3. So, like, they still have to win a semi-final if they did get the result they needed this weekend. But you'd love to have seen them maybe kick on a bit from last year. And maybe if they had a full deck, they probably would have had to, they would have been able to. But you can't underestimate when you lose your starting half-back line from last year. Okay, this is Tipperary. If you took the starting half-back line out of Dublin, I don't care what you say, like, they would be weaker. Like, taking Tip's starting half-back line out of there. You're taking Michael Quinlivan out of there, and you're replacing them with guys that wouldn't have an awful lot of experience, and they're finding their feet. And like, there's no doubt about it, Paddy Feehan has settled in well. I think Jack Harney, after the difficulty against Limerick, came on as a sub the last day, did well. Maloney is getting more experience there, and if Philip Ryan got his goal against Wicklow, but it was sort of a frustrating game. He was making an awful lot of runs. There was the ball wasn't sort of finding his way into him. And I know he snatched at one chance in the first half, but he was probably a kind of, wouldn't say desperation, but he was keen to do something because just the ball wasn't coming in. But like, you'd like to think maybe if he gets a couple of early balls, he looks like he's not physically very belly. He looks like he has a bit of pace about him, that if he gets a ball, he'll take on defenders. And like, just the way he took his goal against Wicklow, like, it was a very cool finish, the way he sidestepped the keeper. Like, it was no element of panic, or maybe he took the wrong option. He knew what he had to do and he did it. And I think as we go on, we'll see more from him.
Yeah, he could be a useful addition. He's related to Kilcommon around the Snake Hoods.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the right Hoods up in Kilcommon. So.
Perfect, yeah. Offaly in Tullamore, tough game. Do you think they'll do it?
Look, it's going to be tough. I say, I just think there's something about, like, they're off here kind of riding the crest of a wave at the moment, and all ladies and girls hurling football, like, they're saying they've won everything so far. I know they're in lower levels, but like I've always felt that when an Offaly team, when Offaly is going well as a county, like, they're a different animal. Like, and then, like, I don't know, more than ourselves, like, they would have targeted probably finishing the top two and getting to promotion. Like, they'll probably feel maybe they're under, would they have feel they'll have the job done at this stage? Like, they'd be very unfortunate if they didn't make a semi-final at this stage, but like, they'll probably feel like home advantage, they should be able to make a count. Like, they just eked out a win against Offaly or against Limerick last weekend. So you probably think, on the basis of what we've seen with Tip and Limerick, it's probably going to be a tight game. Look, there was a tight game last year in Torres, it was a 3-point swing, but I argue that Tip had a stronger group of players last year in terms of who they had. So yeah. hopefully we can get the result. Like, it's going to be an interesting day, and it's supposed to be a lot of to and fro between Ockram to see what happens there. Look, there's no guarantee Limerick will get a result in Ockram. Like, if it was in if the game was in Limerick, you'd probably fancy Limerick. But look, there's a fair scenario where if Wicklow win this weekend and Tip lose, like, Wicklow could end up finishing second place and score differences. Like, Wicklow, I think Wicklow only on -7. So, like, it's not a huge... And, like, I saw enough from Wicklow last weekend, like, to play a very, very quick tempo brand of football. And if they get off to a good start and maybe have Limerick chasing them down, there's no reason maybe why they can't cause an upset as well.
Yeah, hopefully Tip get the business done there. Just moving on to Camogie then, 58-59. Just briefly, the intermediates had a 7-point loss to Galway, who are always strong at that level. And the seniors, a fairly comfortable win over Waterford after the match against Cork. A few mistakes really put them out of that game. They'll be happy to get back on track. Clodagh McIntyre scoring 1-1. She seems to be coming on a bit at senior level. Still reliant a bit on Cotavan.
Yeah, but I suppose in terms of bouncing back from the Cork game to the next, and the results like Waterford have been tricky opposition, as you know yourself, watching in the last few years. So like, it's probably been as comfortable as Tipperary have been against them in a long time. Like, so, and look, I suppose it has to be mentioned that like Waterford were coming in cold, they had no game the week before, and that was probably a huge benefit for Tip. Like, they were match sharp and like 2-11 to 3 points up at half time. You probably think there was something in that, but look, from Tip's point of view, which is good, that the likes of Emer McGrath and Claude McIntyre just like got on the score sheet with goals. Like, we Tip need either one or both, right, to really start to gel in there at senior level. And like Claude has vicious pace. We saw with that goal, like, she took off and stuck it in the back. And then sometimes Claude, she's actually too quick for her own good. Like, and but like, she took her goal brilliantly. Like, caught Devan 12 points out of the 16 that were scored, 9-3 from play. Like, she's playing superbly well. Like, look, you still say like we're still reliant on her, but look, if you feed her enough, she's going to win games on her own. And then maybe at Camogie level, that can sort of work for a team. Like, so I don't know. Maybe they could look at Karen Kennedy, maybe we're pushing up their field. I'm sure maybe in tight games they can, like, but like, no, defensively, 11 points conceded, like, that's another low concession rate. Interesting that they switch goalkeepers for the game. I think there's no doubt there's not much between Anna Slattery and Quiva Burke. Like, there's very, very little between them. But it'd be interesting whether Bill Mullaney had decided in his own mind they were going to get a game each, or whether the manager decided, okay, there has to be consequences for maybe a couple of the sloppy goals on you conceded against Cork. And if you're in a senior, I know she's young, she's only 18 years of age, but I suppose it's senior intercounty, whether it's men's or women's, like, it's cutthroat. And if you're not performing, there probably has to be consequences. And it'll be interesting to see. Now, you'd think Waterford, you'd probably think if Bar Waterford produced a major upset against Cork, Tip should get to a quarter final, and whether to go back to Anya or whether to go stick with Quiva, it'll be interesting to see. But look, I'd have no doubt that Anya would have been disappointed with the eight, particularly the second goal. Like, it was probably a lack of concentration for that one. And look, these are learning experiences, and look, I'm sure she'll be all the better for it. But look, it's I just noticed, like, the two games, particularly the Cork one, I was able to watch that one in full. Like, Tip look a very more athletic team this year. I think we definitely, there's a bit more pace about us, and like Evangelo Walsh, probably the S&C that he got into them for the last 5 or 6 months looks to be working.
Yeah, and this just seems to me maybe they need to get another scalp in the league as they go, just to get that confidence over the big three, because especially in that Cork game, just a few mistakes, maybe nervousness crept in, and they're plenty good enough and competitive enough to keep it into them. Like,
no, absolutely, like, it was like there was nothing in that game for a lot of it, bar the goals. Like, in the first two were sucker punches. I know Ashling Thompson gave them a lot of trouble in the first half of that game. But like the Tip were finishing like a train that day. Like, I know they were about 9 points down and they got it back to three. Like, so, look, as you say, like, to get to a quarter final, look, anything is possible, and they'll probably feel that if they've got a crack at Kilkenny or a Dublin or a Galway, like, and I suppose the longer you stay in that league, the better, like, because it shortens the gap down to the championship, and gives them a chance to blood some more players, like so Casey Hennessy are getting some minutes, Grace O'Toole as well, and as you mentioned, the intermediate, like, it's probably going to be difficult for the intermediates this year because now they've decided to work off separate panels, so it's not the fact that the subs of the senior team can go off and play with the intermediates. It's a completely separate panel. It's hurty. So this year's intermediate panel is probably going to be a little weaker, but maybe for the long-term development of Camogie, if you're getting more players playing at a decent Division 2 level, it probably will be won't do Tip any harm in the long run.
And just moving to 57, then, the ladies football. Competitive for the first half, but Cork really showed their class in the second half and blew them away for a finish.
Yeah, I watched that game on Friday night, and I suppose it's great to see. I know it's difficult for maybe ladies players or any elite players to play on Friday night, but you think for ladies football, like, the opening is there's nothing else going on, and Gigi Cahir won't show them, so great to be able to sit down on a Friday and see Tipperary playing. But look, you were said at half time, they were only 2 points down against a powerful Cork team, or like, and they were going really well. But like you say, Waterford brought on the big guns second half, the likes of Libby Coppinger and Orla Farmer, and really took control. So look, it was a, I suppose, a learning experience for likes of Declan Carr. Like, he'll know an awful lot more about his players, and they're still a very, very young group. There's not an awful lot of experience. Like, I'd say the oldest might be, like, you're probably talking the likes of Edith Carroll there, and she's only coming back after being away for a few years. Like Ashley Maloney's only 22, 23. Like, a very, very young group of players. Like, it's playing at Division 1, and like, they're still, like, they won't have probably Ashton McCarthy or all or Dwyer back for a summer. So, like, they're probably not at this stage where they can be afford to miss too many. So, like, it's going to be about getting more experience. And the likes of Roisin Daly was very good. Like, you have Anna Rose Kennedy back from injury. Thought she was super in the first half. Emily Morrissey, centre forward, was very good. Caitlin Kennedy, centre back. So, look, there was a lot of good individual performances. Ashley Maloney got 60 minutes under her belt. Like, she missed an awful lot of training in the spring. So, look, it's, I suppose, like, probably getting wins against Cork and Dublin was going to be difficult. I'd say the match next Sunday against Waterford is probably the one where Tip were possibly going to be targeting the win, and which would probably maybe be enough to keep them in Division 1 for next year, and maybe have a crack at Dublin the following week. So, like, I think if they can get a win this weekend against Waterford, and they'd be very, very pleased with their first two games.
Yeah. And just finally, moving on to your In All Fairness column, you have a lot of sympathy for the underage managers and management teams, and the ability to actually see players for the panel.
Yeah. No, there's just a couple of things I heard last week between not only my own club but other clubs, in terms of, I suppose, maybe clubs being critical that maybe certain players didn't get a trial, or if they did get a trial, they only got one chance or two chances, or like. But I suppose, in fairness to the underage selectors, like, it's just unprecedented what they've been asked to do this year. Like, they have, I know from a minor point of view, like, I think there was an element of expectation that maybe the minor intercounty championships could have been delayed maybe to October, November time, just to allow that age group maybe to start off with their clubs and just get back playing again. But that hasn't happened. The GA decided they're going to play it in the summer alongside senior and under 20. But that means that no more, they've had absolutely nothing to go on. And I mentioned James Woodlock, like, he's only the new manager. Like, I know he did a couple of under 16 development sessions late last year to help Paul Collins out. He's a club man, not knowing that Paul Collins is going to step down as manager when he did, like, so. But like James wouldn't have been at any, very few club games last year to know who's going well. Like, he has had no schools games to go on. No different than Johnny Nevin. Like, Johnny Nevin's probably nearly in a worse situation because the minor football manager, because I think the minor football and under 16 football was sort of, I think, only at the halfway stage of their club championships when the GA decided to call a halt early October last year.
Yeah.
20 management's had no college hurling to go on. They've had very little club hurling and club football. So, like, all you're left with really is trials. And look, like, trials didn't start until 3 weeks ago. Like, it was only in early May when the GA decided that underage teams could go back training, and that means holding trials. That's what that meant. And
yeah,
I mentioned, like, I was talking to one of the backroom team with the Tip Miners. Like, they had over 160 names issued to them by clubs for guys they felt were good enough for trials. And like, and like, you know, there's only three pitches in Dr. Morris Park, and that has to go between senior hurlers, senior footballers, all the way down.
Yeah.
And like, you might only get maybe access to one of those pitches a night or two a night, and you might be only bring 30 in one night, or you might bring 60 in another night between two fields. And like, you've 3 weeks and maybe 5-6 sessions maybe to have a look at maybe 110 guys and whittle that down to 30 in the space of 3 weeks. That's not easy. Like, and again, if it's just so unlucky for the players themselves, whereas if you don't go well in a night, that may be your only shot. Like, whereas another time is you might be brought back in two or three times. Because a guy might freeze on the night, the ball mightn't come his way, or he might just whatever happens, hurling and football, it just mightn't happen. But like this time, they've got to go on what they see. Yeah. I know they've done a lot. All the coaches have done their due diligence. The ring club coaches, the ring schools coaches, just there to find a bit more about the guys they've picked. I know the lists haven't been disclosed. I think last Sunday was the cutoff for all four of the underage panels to be finalised. So, look, I just feel like while every club will feel that their own player deserved the look or their own player should have made the final 30, it's just not easy. And look, when you're a county like Tipperary, particularly when it comes to Ireland, there's so many quality players that I know players in North Tip that I was surprised maybe haven't not only didn't make the 30 but didn't make the 75. I said, gee, it just shows you the strength. Like, yeah, you think there's a good lad here, but there's equally a good lad in the west south in the mid like that that you wouldn't know an awful lot about. So like, it's just, and you know, you just hope it works out for him as the year goes on. Like, it's tough on the player, but it's also tough on the selector. But look, if it'll be thrown at them if they don't go well in the summer. But look, you should have brought my club player in. He would have been better. Like, just, it's so difficult. Like, but as I said at the very end, look, it's playing minors have to be all and end all. Look, Clare Corbett, Shane McGrath never played county minor. They have all Ireland medals in their back pocket. Like, so, at senior level. So look, I think for a lot of underage players this year, I just think if you get a call up to a county panel, brilliant. But after being locked up for so long, I think enjoy, get back playing. And look, if you stay developing 18, 19, 20, you'll still get a chance maybe to put on the blue and gold jersey.
Absolutely, yeah. And just, I forgot to mention there, you just had a bit of a tribute there to Gerard Gavin, passed away sadly there.
Yeah. This was for a lot of North Tipperary people, like Gerard would be very familiar, particularly anybody going to a match in McDonough Park in the Ina there. He generally be always just inside the gate there, a bit of crowd control or something like. And actually, look, wonderful, wonderful gentleman. Like, geez, he was very, very lovely man. Like, he never had a bad word to say about anyone. Ball was positive. And look, he's a great loss to the Ina Rogue. He's a great loss to Tipperary. Like, what the ideas he brought in terms of fundraising and stuff through Nina and through Tipperary were huge. And I suppose we see that through his business, like in Gerard Gavin, the House of Gifts and then the furniture place here in town. Like, he was a part of Nina there for a long number of years. And look, he's seen a lot in his 88 years. And I suppose just disappointing for him, maybe the last 2 years, he probably couldn't get to as many matches as he could with COVID. But look, he was a great man, and he'd be greatly missed by Nina and his family and everybody in the Hurling fraternity.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great, Shane. Thanks very much for joining us for this week's paper review.
No, cheers, Enda.
Are you looking for an exciting new career? Iconic News are recruiting for the positions of Media Sales Specialist. Iconic is Ireland's largest independently owned newspaper group with an unrivaled audience in print, online and mobile. We are now seeking media sales specialists to join the advertising sales team working on the Tipperary Star, the Nationalist and TipperaryLive.ie, offering a competitive salary and massive career progression to the right fit. To apply, please email your CV to ocooper@iconicnewspapers.ie.
Well, that's all we have time for this week, folks. Thanks to Pat, Samantha and Shane for joining us, and Marissa, Marty and Inda for their contributions. Don't forget to subscribe to our website, thepremierviewpodcast.com, so you don't miss out on any new episodes, and keep an eye on the blogs and match report section for some interesting views, along with Marty's player ratings. Also, give us a follow on social media, Premier View Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and at Premier View Pod on Twitter. Our next episode will be out Monday afternoon, where we hope Tip will have had victories over Offaly and Waterford in this weekend's games. Until next time, Tipperary na bu.